The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today on Happy Sad Confused, the end of days has come as Ragnarok is here. Taika Waititi on Happy Sad Confused this week. Hey guys, I'm Josh Horowitz. Welcome to the show, Sammy.
Hi!
She's back,
everybody!
Guys. We tried to get rid of her.
I'm so happy. You can't get rid of me.
I can't. Sammy's back only because RWK Star on the iTunes page said the following.
Let's hear it.
They complained about the miking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, guys, I'm working on the audio. This is a constant.
Fair.
This is a constant thing.
Yeah.
So they are prompted to leave this review because I love, all caps, love Sammy and her hardly restrained glee about things makes me crack up. Plus, Sammy does the best looking out of any psychic I've seen. It's important to know what Taylor Kitsch's hair looks like. Well, you've got a fan. Guys, 5 stars.
Oh,
we did it.
Thank you so much. It's another person who likes the stupid things that you prefer, that you refuse to mention. I'm so happy to be back.
It wasn't the same. To be fair, you're a busy lady.
Yeah, we were traveling the world.
But we're back in business, guys. I was just telling Sammy we were going over the upcoming schedule. It's stacked.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so there's a lot coming up. Some of my favorite directors, some cool actors. There are a lot of award season-y things coming up. So a lot of people.
A lot of hotties coming.
Sure. Yeah. That's what Sammy delivers is hottie talk.
Yeah.
Taika Waititi could be considered a hottie.
Oh, I am all here for him. After we saw him at Comic-Con, he made my heart leap.
He had those adorable shorts on.
Josh, you sound so stupid. He was wearing a male romper.
What does that even mean?
It's shorts and a shirt that are connected. He was not just wearing shorts. He was wearing a romp him, and it was everything. He's the tallest person ever in this little printed romper. I loved him.
So you're going to love this extended conversation with Taika, who has, of course, gone big time directing the latest Marvel film, Thor Ragnarok, opening up this week, as if you didn't know it. I've seen it. It's great. It's a lot of fun. It is a Thor movie, unlike any Thor movie you've seen. They really have changed it up on this one and gone full comedy. Probably as funny, if not funnier, than the Guardians films.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, they really make great use.
I mean, the trailers are so good.
They're really good. It's going to do really well. It's already done really well with the critics. And check it out. Even if you're kind of just like a peripheral kind of Marvel fan, I think this one's going to bring in kind of a different kind of audience because
we needed it.
Yeah, it makes such good use of Hemsworth's comedic abilities. As we saw, he's done little things here and there, like Ghostbusters. He was great, but
Vacation.
he was
good in it. Yeah.
This everyone's so good in it. Goldblum, of course, is amazing. Hiddleston, of course. Ruffalo, Tessa Thompson, is really great.
What about Cate Blanchett?
Yes.
Jesus.
Yes, it's a stacked cast. So you don't need
Idris.
And he has more to do than the other two Thor films.
Oh, God, I'm so excited.
So, yeah, you put this high on your list as if it's not already. Go check out Thor Ragnarok. It's great. And so thrilled to have Taika Waititi on this show. I mean, I was a huge fan even before Thor. I've probably gushed about What We Do in the Shadows and Hunt for the Wilder People on this podcast before. If you haven't seen those films, go back and check them out. They are so fun. He's got just a really nice touch as a filmmaker and cool too. And this Marvel film feels like as much a Taika Waititi film as it does a Marvel film. So that's a testament to his ability and Marvel's ability or willingness to play with cool directors.
I feel like he's someone who you have to say his whole name.
Waititi.
Like, hello, Taika Waititi.
Exactly. What else should we talk? Is there anything else to catch up on, Sammy? What are headlines in your universe? That, anything pop culture-y? As we tape this, Stranger Things has just debuted. Yeah. Are you going to watch that this weekend?
That's the big plan.
I don't know. I still have to watch. I have a lot on my list. I haven't seen the new David Fincher show, Mindhunter.
I haven't seen that yet.
I need to see that. I still need to see American Vandal. Have you seen it yet?
It's so good. You're going to love it.
That's up my alley.
Because you're a fucking weirdo. Yeah, it's great. It's great.
There's too much good stuff out there, guys.
You love a good penis joke.
I do.
So you're going to be all in on American Vandal.
I do. Yeah, I love true crime and penis jokes. So this is right up my alley.
Truly.
Yeah, it's good. And there's a lot of good stuff out there movie-wise. So, like, I don't know where – I don't have the time. No one has the time, but
you got to make the time somehow.
It's good problems
somehow.
To have, I guess. Yeah. Forget your family and friends this holiday
Forget
season.
Forget meals.
And watch American Vandal. Watch a penis show on Netflix.
And then Stranger Things.
Oh, you know what's really – here's my recommendation of the week. This is a random one. It's a weird kind of little thing.
Oh, boy.
No, it's a documentary that's on Hulu. It's called Too Funny to Fail, and it's about the Dana Carvey Show, which was a show that had only 8 episodes about 20 years ago, something like that. And it was like a sketch comedy show. Dana Carvey, of course, was the main guy, but it also had this amazing staff, Louis C.K., Stephen Colbert, Steve Carell, and Robert Smigel, who's a brilliant writer. Yeah. And it's a really it's a funny documentary just to see like how this show went wrong and how it was the wrong fit for ABC. If you love cool, weird comedy, check it out on Hulu.
Was it as funny as like The Keepers?
Yes. Words of the Keepers.
Yeah, I love those kind of documentaries.
Okay. That's why we keep Sammy around.
I'm kidding. The Keepers isn't funny.
Is that your recommendation of the week, The Keepers?
No, that was my recommendation of like a couple months ago.
Yeah.
My recommendation of the week is probably American Vandal, because I just did that. So
really?
You took that from me.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, and the new season of Below Deck on Bravo.
Okay. We should probably wrap it up.
I'm so sorry, Taika Waititi.
Welcome back, Sammy.
Thank you so much.
Now to the main event. The wonderfully charming. What was he wearing again?
A rompim. Okay. A male romper.
Okay. I'm going to wear that to the next taping of the intro.
You're an idiot.
Prepare yourself.
Take a picture.
Let's say his whole name. Here he is.
Taika Waititi.
Sounded weird coming
it's
out of
your so
mouth.
Good.
Okay. She really enjoyed herself. The sound you hear is Taika Waititi rummaging through my Halloween candy.
Ugh. I'm not going to be eating any sugar.
No sugar. You don't need sugar. You've got the sugary goodness of a blockbuster movie to keep you going.
What a success.
You did it. You've done it internationally. Now the U.S. just needs to follow suit. We need to figure it out.
Fuck the U.S. I don't give a shit what the U.S. fucking thing. Hey, you know what's weird? My friend sent me this fake news, Back to the Future remake, starring Tom Holland, directed by Taika Waititi.
Oh, I would watch that.
From Entertain Weekly.
Wait, was this like a supposed news story someone was trying to pass off as real, or just a joke?
It's one of those sites, right. Twitter accounts. It's like says Entertainment Weekly, but the actual account's like
gotcha.
WEAKLY.
This could be something that is secreted into the universe. No, 5 years later, we're going to be laughing at this. This is how the project began. You've got zombie stance. What are you pointing? Oh, you're pointing at my Big Trouble in Little China poster.
My man.
I mean. I know. When I heard you were coming in and I looked around my office, I'm like, I have all the components of Taika Waititi's new film here.
What do you do?
I've got Big Trouble in Little China.
E.T.
I've got E.T. I've got Mr. Hiddleston over here. I got a Jeff Goldblum bit over here. This is your wife, Taika Waititi.
This is my life and this is my wife. That is my wife. Jeff Goldblum is my wife.
He's the best. I did a sketch with Jeff where he played every role running a restaurant called Goldblum's. And he was, as you know by now, the most delightful, charming man on the planet.
He is the most charming man on the planet. You've got a Willow comic.
I do. Does Willow have a special place in your heart?
Not a special place.
Just but a place.
Just a place. It occupies my memory. A couple of kilobytes of my memory.
You grew up in the '80s. You're a child of the '80s, like myself.
Yeah. Doesn't mean I like all those movies.
You're a Willow hater, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Willow was fucking horrible.
No, that's not true. Do you mean that? We were friends for the first 2 minutes of this, and now we're enemies.
Hey, I've got one of these.
Yeah, yeah. You're pointing at my little apparatus that's recording your voice for posterity.
Because you've got a Zoom box, but, you know, turns out all you have to do is drop $200 on a Zoom box, and suddenly you you're qualified to have a podcast.
I never said that I was any better than anybody else.
Never said it.
But it was implied, my manner. Oh, yeah, everything. Look at me. I project pink superiority.
Shirt with blue and white stripes. And not many people can pull that off.
Did I? Am I pulling it off?
Confident and arrogant people can pull that off.
How are you doing? This is the end of the... You're near the end
of
the press
tour. Start? Have we started?
Oh, we're well into it.
Oh, far out. Cool. I'm just looking at your Jackie poster.
Oh, there's a Jackie poster.
That's a depressing film, isn't it?
That was a little depressing.
But she's great.
She is. She didn't make the cut of your film.
Well. Yeah. Nah, she didn't.
What about this one? Ghostbusters 2? Any?
Oh, I'm a big fan of that painting. From Ghostbusters 2.
Vigo the Carpathian.
Especially with the... when the eyes move. I'm just now looking at your list of people.
What do you think that denotes?
I'm not on there.
You're not... I'll tell you why. Can I tell you why?
Because I'm not famous.
No, you are super famous. These are New Yorkers.
I'm too famous.
These are. Do you have a place in New York, Tyka? Where you rest your head?
Yeah.
No,
I've got a couple of couches, a couple of sofas when I come and sit down.
I need proof of residency.
Kevin Kline, why has it suddenly gone green?
That means nothing. That just means I had a marker that was green.
Oh, okay.
don't overthink my process.
I'm trying to think of people I've met. None of them.
None of these?
Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah, you probably would.
Jessica Chastain, met her.
She's pretty awesome.
Ginger.
Yeah, these are identifying characteristics.
That is it. No one else.
What about
Kevin Kline? No.
Radcliffe?
Who's that?
Dan Radcliffe? Emma Stone? You rub shoulders with the Hollywood elite.
Nah, I don't. I've never met any of these people. Rose. I know Rose.
Rose Byrne. It does occur to me that Thor Ragnarok, this is like the first time you've directed big time movie stars. I mean, Sam Neill's a big time star, but like...
Here's the thing. Josh, these big timers, they're not big. They're nothing.
They think they're something.
They're nothing. They're just a name. They're just, you know, good-looking faces who happen to be, you know, who happen to have the skills to have words come out of their mouths.
How do you
in a convincing way?
How do you cut down someone like Cate Blanchett or Anthony Hopkins down to size so that they don't?
I said to Anthony Hopkins, I said, cut. I came up and he said, was it too much? I said, yeah, it's a bit over the top, mate. And he goes, yeah, no, I knew it was a bit too much. I'll bring it down next time. Sorry. Then Chris put me to goes, remember that time you told Anthony Hopkins he was over the top?
Tony, bring it down a notch.
I was like realizing, I was like, oh, shit. And then, but that's what I realized, like, I'm used to working with my friends, you know, people who are just like my mates, and I can tell them anything. We can, you know, give each other shit, you know, I'll say, that was shit acting. They'll say, well, that was shit directing.
Right.
And, you know, and that's
the nature of collaboration. Exactly. This is how it happens.
Yeah. You're all like seeking out the best work possible. And then I realized, oh, no, everyone else is exactly the same, you know.
Right.
And Tony is the same, and Kate is most definitely the same. She, you know, she goes like, how do I say this line? I don't know how to say this line. I was like, well, I'm not going to give you a line reading. You know, you're Kate. She's like, no, I literally don't know how to say the line. Just tell me how to say the line, because I would appreciate if you did.
I find that the same kind of lesson applies to my side of the business over the years and talking to people is like the greatest success I've had, and I think the greatest failure for other people to interview people is not talking to people like they're human beings that... Like your mates, like that you grew up with.
Yeah,
talk to people like they're
like
fucking
they're normal
people.
Fucking people. Exactly. And then they respect that. And even on like these press tours, like you see people, and You can see it in interviews on films that have nothing to do with them. I've seen these like interviews with these celebrities. And you see that like they're being asked the same question again and again. And they have zero, and that, so their answers don't have any life in them. There's nothing interesting in what they're saying.
Right.
But the interesting interviews are the ones where two mates are getting together, high-fiving, and just shooting the shit.
Just shitting on Willow left and right.
Oh, hey, I didn't realize that we were recording when I said that.
No.
Oh, look.
Yeah. Oh, look at Michael. There's a lot of Michael Shannon, in this office.
There's a lot. You love Michael Shannon.
Have you met Michael?
No, but I already love him because he called you a honky.
It's accurate. I mean,
and you are a honky.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, that's my General Zod action figure. Clearly, his finest role. I got today a box of Stranger Things outfits. If you want to dress up as your favorite Stranger Things character, feel free.
Oh, you mean you got a box of props from 80s movies.
Exactly. Have you had time
to ask me to dress up as something from Stranger Things? So if you want to dress up as someone from any TV show or movie prior to 1992, there's a box for their props and costumes.
Is Halloween a big holiday back home?
It used to be when I was a kid, but do you know what Guy Fawkes is?
Yes. So Guy Fawkes mask and everything, yeah.
Yeah. What?
Well, isn't that the V for Vendetta mask, the Guy Fawkes?
It is. But more than that, it's a fireworks festival in, I know in New Zealand we do it, and I think Australia they probably do it. Anyway, I don't know why we celebrate it, but it's some reason we hate the Crown and the government, and we celebrate this guy who tried to blow it all up.
Seems natural. Almost like putting up Confederate statues in the United States.
Hey, just almost. Nearly. So Guy Fawkes happens a week after Halloween. So as a kid in the 80s, we would go trick-or-treating, and just for a couple of years, I don't know why it became popular suddenly in the 80s, it was the thing to do. We'd dress up and, you know, mummies and zombies and vampires. Our thing was, we'd go to people's houses and then open the door and we'd say, trick or treat, and they go, oh, a trick, please. And then we'd throw fireworks into their front door and like throw like fireworks at them.
Oh, that's adorable.
And then run away. Didn't get many
treats in return. No, I would imagine when you light a stranger's house on fire.
Just tricks.
They don't respond to that.
So trick or not?
Trick or felony?
Trick or nothing.
You mentioned vampires. I know we're going to talk a lot about Thor. I'm sure you hear this a lot. I feel like What We Do in the Shadows is kind of become an instant classic in recent years. It's one of my favorite comedies of the last.
Instantaneous classic. And it only took 5 years from its release to become an instant hit.
I don't know if it took 5 years. I think it was a year or two as people started to... I mean, probably box office did fine.
Yeah, but no, like, I understand that. It's not instant, though, is it? But
dramatic pause. I'm not cutting that down in the edit.
But I was like, hey, I've never actually heard a podcast with like a big, giant pause in it. No, I feel like it's... It's getting more life. It's like gaining more of a kind of a life now.
I think so.
Even later on, like, you know, 5 years ago we made that.
Did that come out of a great?
5 years ago we made that. 10 years ago we wrote it.
You did? Didn't you do like a? Did you do a short or something prior to that?
Yes. In 2004, we made a little 20-minute short, and Stu. We all know Stu. I've got some stories about Stu. He was just helping out. He was just like a kind of a runner on our little short.
And, amazing.
We somehow like saw him standing, like sitting on some steps, texting. We pointed the camera at him, and man, that was all she wrote. And he was suddenly a movie star. And he, in Thor Ragnarok. Sorry to bring it around to this movie, though.
Just shameless, disgusting.
The Valkyrie flashback sequence. That's a big lighting sequence that he and my friend Carlo, two of my old friends from high school, invented, which is like bullet time lighting. So, you know, bullet time cameras are just stringed together.
The Matrix whole thing. Yeah, yeah.
This is bullet time strobe.
Huh.
So it throws shadows. The shadows move around the subject, and the light wraps around the subject. And, yeah, you do the math.
I was going to say, here's something I was actually legitimately surprised about when I saw the film, which I loved, by the way, the new one, Ragnarok, is I was confident going in I was going to enjoy, like, the tone of it, the comedy, whatever. The action is great. Like, it really is. Like, it's really well-composed, and you know, Marvel's kind of gotten some shit sometimes where a little bit of the sameness of their films. And their action is kind of solid, and I enjoy it. But you really like approach these sequences in very novel ways, both in terms of the way you shot it and the use of music. And
I'm really happy you said that.
Well, and
because I didn't know what I was doing.
I was going to say, who directed those sequences?
Whenever someone compliments the action, I'm like, wow, that's good, because I was mainly concentrating on the dialogue and the jokes.
But going in, were you feeling it like, oh shit, like I can handle this part, but how am I going to actually keep up
with a little bit. My main thing was really, I was just wanted, like, we got some good storyboards going, and I would work with the artists and say, I really want, like, you know, this frame, I want this kind of this kind of thing.
And there's your painter background coming in.
Compositionally, I want these like keyframes, and then we'll have to figure out a way to get between them all. So there are a few things in the film where I'm like, I was very specific, and
the Valkyrie flashback has to be one of those.
Thor jumping down the bridge, going into the mass of the zombie army, which is a very kind of Dark Knight sort of Wolverine versus the ninjas kind of graphic image. Thor and Valkyrie jumping across the ships and all that sort of stuff. So very, like, there's certain, like, and they really are just keyframes, really.
Yeah.
So I thought, oh yeah,
that's an interesting way to work backwards, though, to start with the iconic, like, shot, and then
totally. Yeah. It's like that thing they say. It's like, oh, when you write a movie, do the poster first.
Right.
It sort of felt like that.
I kind of also love the fact that, like, two of the films that you've referenced and certainly came to mind when I was watching the film are two of my favorites that are kind of notorious bombs. One is right behind me, Big Trouble in Little China, and the other is Flash Gordon. Bomb. I mean, neither of these films were successes at the time, and they are two of your biggest influences on this ginormous film.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
I didn't realize that. I didn't think about it. Yeah. Well, I feel like when I got this job and I ran into it, I was very nervous, and I felt like, you know, this was going to be the thing to destroy the cool track record of Marvel. But then I remembered that I felt like that on all my movies. I felt very nervous, and like this was going to be the end of my career, and it was going to be a big failure. I think that's when you start making good work. So right. That David Bowie anecdote, he talks about the creative place. And he's like, he says, it's like when you walk out in the ocean and your feet are just skirting the bottom of the sand, and you're barely standing. You're just and the water's just a kind of at your chin now. He says that's the place you want to get to.
Yeah,
and that's where all the good creative stuff comes from. And I felt like that for 2 years.
It's interesting to me that drowning until now you can just feel relaxed and at peace in the world. But it's interesting. I know people have brought up, like, and you talked to Jess on Twitter about Star Wars stuff. Like, there was the Han Solo situation, right, with Warren Miller, who it seems, we don't know the whole story of that, but it seems like they were let go for kind of, like, coming into, like, a big franchise and kind of fucking around with it in a way and kind of pushing at it and doing a lot of improv and stuff, if you believe the reports.
Yeah.
I could accurately – that kind of describes what you
Maybe
did.
Maybe they were molesters.
Stop it. That's horrible.
We who knows?
It's horrible.
Hey, look, I'm not putting it out there. I'm just saying maybe.
I thought you couldn't get more controversial than hating on Willow. No, but you kind of have done that with Thor. This is as
they,
like,
might have molested Donald Glover.
That's just not appropriate.
Okay, we'll delete it then.
I won't. This is running raw.
Raw. It's a raw file. Look, here's the thing with those guys. Can you swear on this thing?
Fucking yeah.
I fucking love those guys. And I remember when they were casting that, and they were like, I was chatting to them, and I was so excited by this idea that they could come into Star Wars, come to something that was so established and, exactly, and it had its own voice, and, like, twist it. And Because that's exactly what I was trying to do with this Marvel thing.
You were already at.
I was in pre-production, yeah. And so but then I realized, I think with Marvel, it's like and with comic books in general, it's not as religious.
Path. Yeah, you
know? There are fans and they're like, well, this happened in like issue 220, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, but then in issue 407. Everything changed, yeah. And they turned the main character into a woman. Yeah. You know, so it's like, so they reinvent themselves all the time, which is really exciting, and I think that's why we're kind of in keeping with that tradition.
Yeah.
We're doing this, but with Star Wars, I think it's just
at least right now, it's still like it's one kind of they haven't gone so far. I mean, Rogue One was a little bit different, but not so far.
But removed. The tone is complete. The tone is always the same.
Yeah, so. Talk to me about, okay, so the fact that, you know, it's well known by now, you know, how much was, you know, improvised and the looseness on the set. Was that built into the schedule? Like, did they know going in, like, okay, we're going to need 3 extra hours every day to fuck around and kind of for Taika to toss in lines and for Jeff to riff for about
whatever? I hope that wasn't the conversation they had. it felt a little bit like... they didn't really understand the way that I worked until I started working. You know, I kept saying to everyone, I was like, yeah, we'll leave some time, we'll be loose, and we'll, like, you know, the script's going to be a suggestion,
yeah.
You know, and we'll figure it out on the day. And, so, and you could see them going, like, what, figure it out on the day? What are you talking about? And so, but once we got in there and started doing stuff and they realized that, just how much fun we're having and what humor was coming out of it, it all changed, and I think, and they did create that space. But my whole thing was like all these studio films and these Hollywood films, the jokes always feel like they've been written like a year before you started shooting.
It's a little bit of a staleness to it.
Yeah, it's like that's the quip.
Yeah,
biddy bing bing boom, and
a little wink to the camera.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been planning this for 9 months. This
made
line.
The writer's room crack up. Yeah,
exactly,
18 months ago.
Exactly. I'm imagining these stupid freaking writers in the writer's room high-fiving each other going, yeah, this is going to be awesome when he says, only on a Tuesday.
They're like, trailer moment.
exactly. And then we would get into the... totally. We get into the set and we'd be like, yeah... You know, I think we could improve on this joke like 500%. We just think about it here in the moment and figure it out.
So I want to talk a little bit about a few of the actors and the characters in the film, because I think one smart thing you've done in the approach to Thor himself and this disgusting perfect creation that is Mr. Chris Hemsworth is that I think Thor works in tandem with other people. Like, he's maybe not so funny on his own, but, like, the absurdity of Thor is him in juxtaposition to other characters.
You're right. He's a great... And like our mate Kurt...
Like Jack Burton in that film?
Jack Burton, who asks, like, 400 questions in the movie. Have you seen that YouTube thing?
Of him I don't asking, know if I have. That's amazing.
Someone's stuck together all of the questions that he asks in the movie, and it's 5 minutes long. And it says... What is this? Who is that? What the hell is this? Where the hell are we? That's Where's amazing. My truck? Who's this girl? Who's that?
Are
you crazy?
His role can be like summarized in like huh? What? What's going on? Like he's like the most like indecisive hero I've ever seen.
And that's exactly what I wanted. I was like, you've got to be asking the questions that the audience is asking, because this film, like Big Trouble, is full of so many wackadoo, absurd elements. You know, all these like zombies and giant wolves and women with antlers and stuff. I mean, it's when you like pick all of them out, none of it should work.
Totally.
And so, Chris is a great reactionary actor.
Yeah,
because acting is reacting.
Oh, I've never do people say that? Is that
actors say that. Assholes.
So acting, such respect.
Acting
for the...
is reacting. Basically, they're saying. Basically, here's the secret to acting, everyone. Just fucking listen.
Just show up.
Listen to the other person. That's it. That's all you need to do. And then you get an Oscar.
Have you ever not, like, gelled with an actor where, like, they're not speaking
Chevy
your language?
Chevy Chase.
Stop it. Have you been with Chevy Chase in any
I did a commercial and a sort of, like, a promo thing for NBC.
Oh, no. He's got a reputation. You're not alone.
He was an asshole.
What'd he do? Not speaking out of school. Everybody knows Chevy Chase is an asshole. This is like common.
Yeah, no, I'm not. He was just an asshole to me.
What a jerk.
Yeah.
How dare he? And I love Fletch. Do you love Fletch on US now?
I didn't think I've seen it.
What? What 80s films were you watching?
I've seen the other one where he's like got their family and they're traveling around.
Right.
Vacation. What's it called? Vacation. Family Vacation.
Vacation. Yeah. Maybe they renamed it Family Vacation in New Zealand.
National Lampoon's
Vacation.
Family Vacation. No. I think it's called Family Vacation in New Zealand.
Seriously?
Yeah. Maybe that's why I hate it.
Family European Vacation and Family Christmas Vacation. Yeah. It doesn't roll off the tongue.
Family Vacation goes to vacation in Europe.
Maybe that's why it bombed in New Zealand.
What's the one where they drive around the Arc de Triomphe like 400 times?
That's Family European Vacation.
Family Vacation.
I like that without ruining too much, we can allude to this at least. I'm glad that we know that Doctor Strange figures into a small part of this, that you gave Cumberbatch and Hiddleston a moment. I feel like the fans needed that. Was that tough to kind of arrive at, like, how much to kind of reward that real life relationship in terms of a
sort of. I didn't really listen to the fans. It's my no. Honestly, I was like, people are either going to like hassle me for, you know, being a New Zealander and coming in and like, you know, tainting their precious Thor, or you know, they're going to be on my case about like some moment from, you know, some run of the comic
right.
in like 1982 that they're in love with, and so I just thought I'll do my thing. I want to make the movie I want to make, and Marvel can like deal with that. You can yeah. deal with like the source material and honoring certain things that they feel like, you know, they want to put into the movie.
So was there any moment like
one moment, which is when actor Loki and actor Thor in the play referenced. Loki turning Thor into a frog.
Right.
Which is a famous moment.
In the comics.
From the Walt Simonson run.
Were you aware of that, or they were like,
no, this
might
yeah,
be good
I
to
I wrote it in there, yeah.
Got it. So but were there moments, like, on the flip side where, like, Feige had to, like, call you on the bat phone and be like, footage looks great, but here's just something that you may be going a little too far. Did he have to rein you in at any point? Like, was there...
I'm not sure he saw any footage until we started editing. I know he probably saw some dailies here and there, but... It just felt like we were doing our thing, and he turned up to set in Australia. We were in Australia. No one could really touch us. He turned up, and that was the last week of shooting. When it was too late to like, change anything we'd done.
You're all dancing a jig. It's like,
hey, you know what? You guys have ruined this. I hate this. Okay, well, that's a wrap. Because
got about
we've been
an hour
shooting for 85 days, yeah. And I'm leaving the country tomorrow.
You have an extra $150 million to spend? I don't think so. Here's your movie.
Here on day one.
Does this give you like a... There's your slinky. That's complimentary. You can have that.
It really?
You've done so well. You've earned it.
This is the sound of a slinky.
You don't want to know what he's doing with it, where it is. What part of the body it's attached to. What? You perverted a lovely childhood toy into grossness. Is this one of those things that when... I know they haven't like announced like another Thor movie, or nor have you said... You've said you're open to doing another Marvel movie, but nothing's like happening.
Mm-hmm.
That like when the movie makes $300 million opening weekend, suddenly there's going to be a big announcement that Taika Waititi's back for Thor 4?
Well, I would definitely do one. Well, no, I'm not. No, it struck that. I won't do one.
Yeah.
And try and really get me in to do it.
Team Waititi is very wise.
Yeah, the team. Team Waititi. Bunch of people I just pay lots of money to.
Here's the thing, though. By the time another Thor movie rolls around, Hemsworth might not even be Thor. Next couple Avengers movies, I think we're going to swap out some
what
of these.
What else is he going to do?
Well, that's one, and that's not the issue, first of all. We might have a new Captain America. We might have a new Thor.
Well, true. I mean...
would you want to do a Thor without Hemsworth?
I'll say it here first. You know, I'd love to see a female Thor. But played by Chris Hemsworth.
Man can do anything.
I only want to work with Chris.
He's probably an attractive woman, too. That jerk.
I know.
It's so
exactly.
It's so upsetting. It's so upsetting.
I don't remember this bit in the movie.
When General Zod has two giant green pieces of... I don't know what he's doing there. Shannon sat in your seat and wondered the same thing. He's like, I don't remember doing this in the movie. It's a fair criticism.
Yeah.
I think it's kryptonite.
That's not kryptonite. You've clearly never read a DC comic. You're Marvel all the way.
I'll have you know, I was a big collector of Batman and Detective Comics.
Yeah, clearly, you referenced Dark Knight earlier. You've got your bona fides. Well,
yes, no. I have a second printing of Dark Knight. My friend has a first printing of Dark Knight Returns. What's my other favorite of the Batman runs? Well, obviously,
we get one,
Arkham
of course.
Asylum, Death in the Family.
Did you vote to kill Robin, or did you vote? Remember that? How you could do that?
Yeah.
That was a long-distance call probably for you back in New Zealand.
Well, yeah. In New Zealand, we didn't get to find out what happened until...
3 years later.
3 years later.
Jason Todd's back. <Yeah. laughs> What?
That kid, that annoying kid's dead.
You sent it by snail mail.
Wasn't he annoying?
He was annoying. He was. But even
shit.
Even by
shit.
Robin standards, yeah. He was the more annoying Robin.
No, totally. He was just so ungrateful. He was living with a billionaire. Have some respect.
What else? What should we talk about? What do you want to talk about, Tiger?
DC Comics.
Oh, yeah. So we're talking about DC Comics. So, oh, here's my question.
Hey, here's a move. What do you guys think? What do you think? Yeah. Well, I don't say you guys. I'm not talking about
there's
you.
Only one person. There's, I'm literally the only person here.
One of my favorite graphic novels, well, the collections, Havoc and Wolverine. Remember that one?
I don't remember that one.
It's Havoc and Wolverine on R&R. They take a break from... And actually, like watching Logan, I actually realized, I was like, oh, yeah, maybe it borrows a bit from that tonally.
Right.
It's got a similar... Anyway, Havoc and Wolverine, you know what? Who drew that? Who drew that? It's got a real sort of... Who the hell was it? It's got a kind of Sienkiewicz kind of feel, but it's not him. It's like real paint. It's all, the entire thing is painted.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'll look it up.
Really amazing.
So had you ever gone... up for a comic book movie before this? You no. must have had a... You didn't have one meeting about no. anything like this. No. A franchise? Yes.
Nothing.
Really?
Nothing.
What... Because I would imagine you're pitching Thor, right? And, like, at the time, were you in love with doing it? Or were you kind of just testing your own resolve? Were you, like, deciding...
I was really testing it. I actually... I was in Hawaii editing Hunt for the Wilder People. And they'd set up this meeting to pitch, and whoever's listening to this can't see I'm doing that thing with your fingers when I say pitch.
Right.
What do you sort of call that? Quotes?
It's quotes, yeah.
Pitch, which is, they had no story, so they had nothing to pitch other than the sizzle reel that I cut together, which is basically torrenting clips from movies.
And what kind of clips? Was it The Big Trouble?
Big Trouble.
Yeah.
Big Trouble in Little China, 16 Candles, Breakfast Club, with Nell and I.
So what were you trying to convey in the John
superhero movies?
In the John Hughes stuff, what were you trying to convey? What's that? What's that part?
Well, I wanted this little thing, and maybe if we ever do a Thor 4, maybe we can have it in this next one. But I wanted to do like some flashbacks to when Thor was a kid, and he was a fat little kid, and it was like an 80s version of like Asgard. They'd have massive shoulder pads and stuff, everyone had mullets.
Wait, so Thor was the fat kid?
Yeah, Thor was a fat kid, and the whole idea was like, oh, so Valkyrie, like Thor and Valkyrie meet, and they're like, and he's like, hey, I know you, and she's like, yeah, I remember you, and then it cuts back to this thing, and he's just like this pudgy little kid walking around with a mullet and being.
What happened
being picked
to that?
Up by like other kids, and like Loki's like this little like goth, that's emo goth,
yeah, like
hanging out by
hair.
Himself,
yeah, yeah.
And yeah, he was like that kid. What's in Harry Potter? Who's the little,
yeah, the Malfoy?
Yeah, that one.
when did that get dropped? I love that.
It was just the problem was like we.
There's a lot of stuff too.
Yeah, well, we needed him to not know Valkyrie in the film,
right.
And stuff, and then it became less and less of a thing to have a flashback. It just. We would have been forcing it, so
yeah.
It would have been a situation where like we're having a pointless flashback just for a
joke. That's what fourth movies in a franchise are for—the pointless flashbacks.
Yeah,
it does strike me actually. One of the things I noticed because I went back and the one film I hadn't seen of yours was Boy, which I caught up on, which was excellent as well. Was that like invariably you've worked a lot with kids in your
yeah.
films, and this one I don't remember any kids in this one, but apparently you did. You wanted to, it just didn't make the final iteration.
I wanted the scene. I don't necessarily like working with kids. It's just they're just less hassle than grown-ups.
It's all on the spectrum. They're still assholes. Just they're less still of assholes. Assholes.
Every actor's an asshole. It's more that the yeah, with kids, like, you know, they'll give you something really amazing, and you know they won't really question it, and they won't. Right. They'll just do what you say.
Right.
And grown-ups will be like overthinking everything.
Right.
Well, yeah, why am I picking up this sandwich, man? Because you're fucking hungry, dude. Just, your character is fucking hungry. Eat the fucking sandwich.
It's an actual argument,
like,
you have.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I would be eating a sandwich in this situation. You know, like, I kind of feel like my character would sort of like he would like have a cigarette and like pull out a gun and then just like look at the sandwich. All actors want to do is like
they just want to talk
a gun and smoke cigarettes because they think that's fucking acting. I think that's cool.
What are your acting aspirations now? You're a hell of a performer yourself. I mean,
thank you. I was waiting for that. I was sort of fishing for that, but
could tell
you took the bait. Acting wise, well, I only really like did my thing because no one else would give me any roles, so I just sort of became a director. And now I'm sort of like I have the power of a god, and I can control everything and give myself those roles. I would like to do more stuff, but I actually am only really comfortable doing stuff for myself or for my friends.
Because you know your own voice? Because other people are not...
Well, the time to work with directors that that I don't know, I feel like no one ever really listens.
Because you're telling them you want to come to the scene with a gun.
And have a gun.
Hey,
Martin. In this scene, I could have a cigarette and hold a pistol.
Well,
you're dead in this scene.
You just want to ask Green Lantern where the ring came from. Why do you need a gun? It just feels right.
Where did the ring come from? An alien. Okay, and scene. I was terrible in that movie. I was terrible at acting, but also I was terrible in that.
You are the least of that movie's problems. Don't worry. Like,
oh, we should change it something.
No, I just remember thinking, I was like, oh, you know what? I read the script and I was like, I don't know if I should be, I don't know if I need to be in this scene. And I'd say that.
That's not a good question to ask as an actor.
I know that now. But I went and I was like, because I was like, you know, oh, I'm a filmmaker, I'm going to help the production out. You know, it's like, hey, guys, I read the scene. It seems kind of pointless for me to be in it. Yeah, maybe I should, you know. And they're like, just shut up. And say these lines. And say them fast.
We are trying to fix the ending of this movie right now. We don't have to.
We're trying to write anything.
Exactly. So speaking of big Hollywood blockbusters, your name's been linked to Akira. That's not 100%. You're thinking about it.
I was talking to them about it, and it just became a...
It got out a little early.
Yeah, got out early, and I know how that kind of stuff happens.
What's the appeal of that if that does go forward? Like, what would you want to bring to Akira that's special to you as a fan?
My whole thing is, I don't think if you're going to make this film a live action film, it shouldn't be. It's not a remake. You can't do a remake of the film.
Yeah.
The film is great. It's got to be an adaptation of the books, and there's so much cool stuff in the next five books.
Yeah.
That hasn't been addressed at all in that film. And I think a lot of critics, a lot of these little nerdy little pieces of shit, they haven't even read the fucking books. And they're like, oh, don't remake the movie, man. Just leave it alone. It's a classic. It's like, have you read the books?
Then let's
read
talk.
The fucking books. They're amazing, and they're better than the movie. And, you know, and so that's my... It's like, if I was to ever approach the whole thing, it would be that I would... want to do a proper adaptation of the books.
Gotcha. So there's no script or anything right now. It was like literally a meeting that blew up into something.
There have probably been scripts for like 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, but I've heard castings of different, like, Gary Oldman was going to be in, Kristen Stewart, it was like all these different things.
Who else was going to be in it? I remember these conversations. Chris Evans was going to be in it.
Garrett Hedlund, I know, was attached. There were a ton of...
And DiCaprio briefly was going to do it.
He's a big nerd, I think. I'm surprised DiCaprio's never done... I know he's a big Twilight Zone fan. He was going to produce a Twilight Zone movie.
Really?
Yeah. He might still be attached
to
that.
Maybe he'll be interested in this one that Jermaine and I are trying to do, which is a TV show. It's sort of like a freaky
Twilight Zone TV show.
Nice.
Like the Night Gallery.
Excellent. You're a Black Mirror fan? What do you think of that?
I am a Black Mirror fan, but it's not funny.
No. It's the opposite of funny.
Yeah. It's just yeah. It's very good. It's very good. I'm making a real, like, I'm trying to own my my confident move away from enjoying depressing films,
right,
and TV, because I have to be honest with myself, I don't enjoy that stuff anymore.
Now more than ever, we all need a
laugh. More than ever, I want to see things that are fun,
more fart jokes, more.
Hey, no, never a fart joke. You will never see a fart joke.
Really? You don't find fart jokes funny?
Nope.
Interesting. You're a classy man, classier than I. I had Sarah Silverman in the other week. She loves a good fart joke.
I don't.
That's fair. Teach us on.
I'm not going to apologize.
Apologize right now, Taika.
Okay. I'm so... Oops. Oopsie.
And that is the first and last fart joke from Taika Waititi. Another one that became a big internet headline was that you're apparently well on your way to directing a Black Widow movie. That's obviously not true, but someone asked you about...
Fucking hell!
No, I know. Someone asked you what character you'd be interested in.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, I like Black Widow, only because I like Scarlett Johansson. And and next thing is, oh, Tony's going to try and do Black Widow. No, because she'd be a female director.
Are you still in the Marvel family? Like, did they consult you at all in terms of, like, Thor when it came to, like, the next Avengers movies? Or was it kind of like you did your job and then... They did their thing.
They did consult. What was cool was that the Russos had heard what we were doing to Thor and what we were doing to Bruce Banner, and so we had to show them footage, and then they understood what we were, you know, like, and they loved it. Yeah, they were really supportive.
Nice.
And it was cool because, you know, in all honesty, Bruce Banner was pretty boring before, yeah. And Thor was not the best thing about all the movies, but. You know, I've had a lot of. I really loved Chris, you know, and all the stuff he's done. Even, like, especially in Rush. I think it was amazing in that.
Yes.
And Ghostbusters is incredible. So, yeah, I was really happy to be able to, like, kind of reboot these characters.
Totally.
Without recasting.
Totally. I know you're running around, so I won't keep you any longer than is necessary. What? But what? Calm down. Taika. This is wrap up voice. Can you tell Josh's wrap up voice?
I've heard about Josh's wrap-up voice.
Among the many stories about Josh.
I didn't think it would happen to me today. And
it happens to everybody, buddy. Don't be like that.
I didn't think it would be.
We had a good time.
I didn't think it would be over so bad.
It was nice. You can have the candy. You can have the toys over here. You have your slinky.
I've got a slinky. Nice Guys DVD.
Nice Guys.
The DVDs you've got here.
Yeah.
Tarzan. The Dark Horse. Have you seen that?
I've heard that's good. I never saw it.
It's very good. It's my mate, Cliff Curtis.
Yeah, good actor. Great actor.
Very, very good actor.
War Dogs. War Dogs.
I've not seen it.
Todd Phillips movie. It's all right. It's all right.
Hmm.
Nice guy.
Who directed that?
That's Todd Phillips.
Oh, he directed it.
Yeah, I said it like 3 seconds ago.
Wasn't listening. I haven't really been listening to you.
Nice Guys? That's a good
nice
movie.
Nice Guys. Directed Shane Black. Shane Black.
Smart, witty man. There's some humor in there.
I like Nice Guys. Another controversial statement. I'm full of them today. I think Russell Crowe is one of my favorite actors.
That's the controversial.
I'm not facetious.
You're not only saying that because Russell's a big fan of the show. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's going to appreciate that. Of course not. Why would he listen to this show?
Well, he might be bored.
Thor Ragnarok. I think that's the film, right?
Not necessarily.
You're not really selling your film well.
Not necessarily. No, well, I don't need to.
It doesn't. It sells itself.
Oh! How arrogant is that? No, Thor Ragnarok is the movie that I've made. It's a small little independent film from the Disney Corporation in conjunction with Marvel Studio Enterprises.
It's the little movie that could.
It's a little movie that better.
It's a wonderful film. It, honestly, I had a blast with it. I'm going to see it many more times. Congratulations on the film, man.
Thank you, man.
And I hope to catch up with you again soon.
Yes!
We did it!
We did it. Thank you, brother.
Thanks, buddy.
And so ends another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. Remember to review, rate, and subscribe to this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm a big podcast person. I'm Daisy Ridley, and I definitely wasn't pressured to do this by Josh.
Yeah.